I'm going to preach on music tonight, and I am not a gifted musician, but I don't know of anybody in the world that loves music any more than I do. I'm a music lover. I love to listen to music. I know Mrs. Ross, I don't know what your name is. Whatever, you're Mrs. Ross. And I'm in trouble. I stay in trouble all the time. I know she's a great music lover, and I remember the famous message on Brother Ross preaching about the orchestra. She just had to go to the Philharmonic Orchestra and listen. And it's interesting because music is so important in our lives. If we could just stop and realize how important music is. And there are some people say, well, I just don't care about music all that much. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And so that's not a suggestion. That's a command. We're to make a joyful noise unto the Lord because that does something to our heart, to our spirit. He was talking about Psalm 1 and Psalm 100 this morning. My daddy gave my sister and I 50 cents apiece to learn Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are the people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Now, what you should do is repeat that every day, and I have not done that, so I'm a little rusty on it, but I have known that psalm from childhood all the way up. Now, Satan loves music. Matter of fact, he is the most musical instrument ever created. Did you know that? Actually, Satan, Lucifer, is a musician that has his built-in pipes. Turn with me, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 28, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, somewhere along in there. Ezekiel chapter 28, and I'm sure that some of you are probably familiar with this passage of Scripture. But starting with verse 13 down to 15, says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold, and the workmanship of thy tabrets, and of thy pipes." Now I want you to notice that. "Thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountains of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." And so, Satan was created as an archangel to be around the throne of God for musical purposes. The Bible says that Satan, Lucifer, had pipes. His being, his body was filled with pipes. Now, you may not understand that, but after I explain it, you will. Because you see, there's pipes and then there's a pipe. I have a pipe. I don't have pipes. I have one pipe. And that is my voice that starts in my nasal passage and goes all the way down to my diaphragm. And I am to make a joyful noise with my pipe. You know, people love music, but they want to hear somebody singing the words. Have you ever noticed that? Singing the words by the human voice is more popular than any music that you'll ever hear. All right? So I've got this pipe. And I grew up in Kentucky, and I grew up listening to the Grand Ole Opry, and as some of you did, you know. And I would listen, and people down there, you know, they sang through their nose. Do you know that? Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. I'm on the sunny side of life. And you know, I grew up and I began to hear some teaching about that. And so people said, oh, those old hillbillies, all they do is sing through their nose. So I thought, well, you're not supposed to sing through your nose. So I wanted to do it right. So I started singing without my nose. So I sing like this. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. I'm on the sunny side of life. And you know, that didn't work very well. That didn't work. And then somebody said, well, you got to sing from your diaphragm. Oh, Lord, my. So I wanted to do it right. I had a desire to. Nobody taught me anything, Brother Jerry. I've had to learn everything the hard way. And the hard way is the hard way. So, oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. Isn't that great? Isn't that just wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? Now, you're going to have to settle down, Brother Jerry. I won't make it through. But I was taking my daughter to a piano lesson one time. And the music teacher, we were talking a little bit, and he said, well, he said, actually, your voice is a pipe. That's the first time I ever heard that. He said, actually, you sing through your nose. You sing through your nasal passage. You sing from your throat. You sing from your stomach. And you sing from your diaphragm. In other words, you use the whole thing to sing from, okay? And you know, it's very important that we get it right. Most people never learn some of those things. And so music has done more to corrupt our world than just about anything that you can name. Now, remember this and don't forget it. Satan is the author of the best and the worst music in the world. It don't get any better than his ability. Because you just read in Ezekiel how he was created from the very beginning to bring honor and glory around the throne of God. So Satan knows beautiful music. But Satan also knows that God loves music. So Satan has done everything he can to pervert music. And so Satan is the author of the best music in the world. I mean, wouldn't it be something if we invested our time in having the right kind of music? We don't, I'm sorry to say. Matter of fact, for our radio station, I got a CD from Nashville that was sent to us, and they had looked up on our website and saw the kind of music we play, and they wanted us to play this CD by this artist, and they said that they had done it with the London Philharmonic Orchestra. They spent over $100,000 on that project. You say, wow, that's a lot. That's nothing. They do it all the time. These big companies, they know they're going to sell millions of copies, so what's $100,000? Some of these rock groups will go into a studio and they'll block out 2 or 3 months of the studio time, and they go in there with their women, their drugs, their alcohol, and they camp out. And they'll spend sometimes $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 on a project. But if they're going to sell 5 million copies, who cares? The publishing company don't. The record company don't. Because they're going to make all kinds of money. So on one end of the spectrum, you have the London Philharmonic Orchestra, you have the Boston Pops, and then you have Philharmonic Orchestras all over the country. And they are good. They put it all together and they orchestrate it to where everything works together. And then you take some little old country boy with a guitar with 6 strings on it, and he goes out and he cuts a record and makes $10 million, you know. It don't make sense. It really don't make sense. And so you have your rock bands, you have your country music, you have billions of dollars that come in as a result of what they spend on rock music and all of the junk and all the garbage that goes on. What a shame. I'm not talking about millions, I'm talking about billions of dollars. It's the Baptists who can't get it together. The world has got it together. What I have experienced in faith music missions in Baptist churches is almost everybody wants to know, how cheap can we get it done? How cheap can we get this done? We want it really cheap. And I was talking to a fellow one day, and he said, well, how cheap can I? I said, well, I'll tell you what you do. I said, you record it on a boom box, bring it to us. We'll duplicate it for you. We won't put our label on it, but we'll duplicate all the copies you want, and we'll do it for $1 apiece, you know. How cheap can we get it done? Wouldn't it be something if the Baptist people of this country got serious about having the right kind of music? I mean, you know, we're not, I mean, the Boston Pops or the London Philharmonic Orchestra, they'll put $100,000, and that's just a bare minimum. I mean, there's no way in this world that a Baptist church would ever put $100,000 in a project. They just wouldn't do it. One reason why is they don't have the market for it. That's one reason why I've struggled so much with the state songs, is it's sort of out of kilter with what we're doing, and I'm not sure about the market. How are we going to market it? How are we going to get it out? What are we going to do? I mean, you know, Mrs. Ross, what is your name? English. Mrs. English. Mrs. Ross. Mrs. English. I hope, Brother English, you don't mind. It's okay, isn't it? All right. But I appreciate her critique, because I know that she's like me. She's a music lover, always has been. And that means a lot right there. But wouldn't it be something if we could get our act together? What if the fundamental movement had backed up 35 years ago when Faith Music Missions just started, and all these people we were fighting to get to come to record, what if they said, well, you know what? Why don't we just go to Evansville and build about a $5 million studio? And why don't we do it upright? And why don't we get behind that ministry? And why don't we really support it? You know, many times we get what everybody else don't want. I'm sorry. What if they said, we got some of the best musicians and best singers in Baptist churches that you'll find across the country, but they're stuck in a Baptist church like Jasonville here, like Blessed Hope, and they don't travel. If you don't travel, you don't sell the CDs, okay? So therefore, they have no market for them, so we can't get them out. But, you know, somebody said, did you ever think you'd record 10,000 songs in 35 years? My answer would be no. I thought it'd be $100,000, 100,000 songs. And do you think you'd ever have two radio stations? No, I think we'd have 200 radio stations. Anywhere you want to go in America, you could turn on a radio station and hear our music. Wouldn't that be something? Now, I'm griping right now, so help me here. And my pacemaker's doing fine. But what if that happened? We've got a mess in our country. We have got a mess. The world has the money. They have the method. They have the music. And they have the mess. They have corrupted our country like you would not believe. Back in the early days, I was building houses to make a living in the ministry. I've actually built or remodeled 40 houses in order to be in the full-time ministry. I'm dumb. I never was very smart. I'm from Kentucky, where education pays. It's a two-syllable word down there. But I was building a house, and I had this Baptist deacon working for me, and we got into a big discussion one day. And the discussion was, he liked to go out and play music like on Friday night and Saturday night and go to the dances. He was arguing me with the point that, you know, that you could go to a dance and have a good time, and there's nothing in the world wrong with that. And, of course, I was the opposite view, you know. The more I thought about it, the more I stewed. And a lot of times when I stew over something, I'll write a beer drinking song or something like that, you know. And so... I've got this little poem that I wrote, and it goes like this. Lot thought it was all right to gamble, drink, and dance, but he was in the devil's hands. Old Lot was in his trance. He said, "Hey, Lot, you can have a good time, the time of your life. Go on and show a good time to your children and wife." So Lot, he moved to Sodom and sat at the city gates. He counseled with the wicked and helped them in their estates. And oh, the wickedness of Sodom in its day, and Lot and his family had forgotten to pray. They were involved in pleasures and things of this world. Lot, his wife, and his children, down to his smallest girl. God spoke to Abraham and said, "My friend, Sodom must be destroyed because of her sin. Lord, you're going to destroy the righteous, all those good people with the bad? If I can find just 50 righteous, 40, 30, 20, 10, not even a lad." So Lot went to his family and got them out of bed. "Come on, let's get out of here. What's the matter with you, old man? Something wrong with your head?" His children would not listen. They would not pay attention. So the awful dread of doubt and fear brought on Lot great tension. What was he going to do? The decision he could not face. So the angels got them by the hand and led them from the place down the city streets and out the city gate. "Run, run for your life, and don't about face." But Lot's wife loved her city of sin. She would not go. She began to halt. She turned and was turned to a pillar of salt. Heard Brother Jerry Ross preaching on the radio. He's talking about what's going on in our country, and he's not ashamed to do that. You know, 2% of our society is homosexual. And yet, they've got the money, they've got the talent, and they got the time. And there's a lot of degenerates out there. And she's on television every day. And some of y'all watch her. I hope not. But anyway, so we've got a terrible thing going on in our country with music. You know, I grew up in country and western music, and they had the nasal sound, you know. And then they adapted that, and the Elvis Presley, you know, Christmas without you, you know. And then the country singers, they come along, and you know, now I'm going to tell you like this. I don't want to walk like that. So if I don't talk like that, I'm sure not going to sing like that. I mean, it's a mess. It's a mess. Job had a lot to learn, didn't he? Job had a lot to learn. Matter of fact, God allowed him to go through the mill. And turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. And verses 4 and 5, it says, "And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them." Now, a lot of people don't get this. "And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sacrificed them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus did Job continually." Job was the greatest man on earth, but he had 10 rotten kids. Now, I've never noticed that before, but Job had 10 rotten kids. They were all grown. They all had their own house, and they had a party going on every day. They would bring their sisters in, and they would eat and drink. And Job kept watching that, and he was thinking, "Boy, you know, maybe they sinned, and I better offer a sacrifice for them." Now, Job is the best man on the face of the earth, so every one of us can mess up, can't we? I've made plenty of messes in my life. that only God can straighten out. And then Job went through all that he went through, and his three friends, they tried their best to straighten him out. And all the way through, now turn, if you will, to chapter 38. Job chapter 38. And so after his friends got done with him, and after things were beginning to maybe settle down just a little bit, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" In other words, Job, who do you think you are? "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Now look at this. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Wow. "Job, where were you when all the morning stars sang together?" What color is Mars? What color is the earth? You've got all different colors in the universe. The Saturn, the rings around Saturn, you've got the colors of the rainbow. Did you know that color is sound? That every color gives off a distinct sound of its own? That makes me think that God has the whole universe singing his praises. That God has the whole universe, that's his little music box that he listens to. God loves music. And Job here, his life has been a mess. He's been put through the mill. He's been jerked through a knothole backwards. And then we see something else. God began to bless Job. Job began to get some things straightened out. Now remember this. Job's kids were all grown. None of them married, or doesn't say they were. Job had no grandchildren. Not one. All of his kids, all they wanted to do was party. No grandchildren. I never noticed that for years and years and years. But I got to looking at it. Then Job was blessed, he and his wife, with 10 more children. And the Bible says his daughters were the fairest in the land. And his grandchildren sat on Job's lap. His great-grandchildren sat on his lap. His great-great-grandchildren sat on his lap. Isn't that great? Isn't that something? That's amazing to me. Because you see, Job, the best man in the whole world, he didn't have it quite straightened out. But God kept working on him. God kept working in his life. You know, the whole world is God's little music box, and he wants us to sing his praises. I grew up listening to big band music, as some of you did. And then in the 80s, the 70s and the 80s, the disco beat came out. You know, and you turn on your radio now, it's ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Now, I don't know what that was beating this morning. I didn't bring any drums with me, but somebody was doing something. But that music you hear now, ba-boom, 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 that's all you hear. Boom, 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 boom. Matter of fact, it even got to the point to where that I said, I hate drums. I hate drums. Matter of fact, we put a little caption in Faith Music Mission several years ago and says, I've heard all the drummers drumming, and we decided not to use any of them. And we didn't use drums in our music. Because preachers all over the country said, where do you get that music? Don't have drums in it. They liked it. Now, if you go back before the disco beat, I didn't have a real problem with percussion. And if you go to the churches across America, independent Baptist churches that have an orchestra, they'll have a set of drums there. And so I sort of boxed myself in with that statement. Matter of fact, I was driving down the road one day and I was looking through some of the stuff I had this few years ago, and I found this cassette tape that didn't have a label on it or anything. And I thought, I wonder what that is. So I put it in my tape player, and this great big drum roll started off. And Roger Williams started playing Autumn Leaves. And I said, oh, I love drums. What happens to us, we have a tendency to get everything out of kilter. Have you noticed that? We just get everything out of kilter. Satan has corrupted the music of our land. And by the way, we can't blame Satan for all of it, because mankind has followed right in behind him and joined in with him. And I'm going to close with this. The millennium is coming. And I don't know how it's going to work out. But I have asked God to put me in charge of all the music, all the radio stations, all the TV stations in the whole world. That's going to be my job in the millennium.